The second reading is Psalm 34. The reading can be found on page 561 in the Church Bibles or page 996 in the large print version. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, let me help you, if you help me, by keeping Psalm 34 open before you. Page 561 in the Church Bibles. Page 561, Psalm 34. Let's pray before we study God's word together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you've made us. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word of yours. So cause us to find in it the way to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder when you last praised anybody. Perhaps if you're a husband to your wife, what a wonderful supper, darling, presuming it doesn't stretch the bounds of credibility too much. Or even a work colleague. Do we ever appreciate those who we work alongside day by day? On a human level, when it comes to praise, even then we get embarrassed and shuffle our feet. But failure to praise God is a measure of our spiritual health. There's a great church leader, a man called Bishop Ambrose of Milan at the end of the 4th century, who said this: anyone possessed of his five wits should blush with shame if he does not begin the day of a psalm, since even the tiniest birds open and close the days with the sweet songs of devotion. And yet so often, we forget to praise God as we should. But I don't know how many of us are possessed by five wits or even started with a psalm today. C.S. Lewis, of the Narnia fame, great scholar, Christian theologian, said in spiritual terms, praise almost seems like inner health made audible. Inner health made audible. Perhaps your inner health isn't good spiritually if you aren't thankful to God in different ways. Because praise reveals the state of our lives spiritually. And sadly, down the years, I've noticed that in church life and in life general, there are many who are never thankful and just criticize and carp. Well, notice, this psalm comes from a personal experience. That's verses 1 to 10. And you wouldn't tell this for the English translation, but in the Hebrew, this psalm is a broken acrostic, reflecting, I think, what David experienced, the agony of life. And actually, we know, don't we, in our own lives, they're very often broken, as this poem, this acrostic is in this psalm. And in it, the psalm speaks of David's experience, it speaks of what can be our experience, and it speaks ultimately and supremely of Jesus' experience. David had the experience of a great rescue. If you read the background to this psalm in 1 Samuel 21, you'll see what had happened to him. And just look at the top of the psalm. It says of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. Well, Abimelech is also known as the king of Achish, and so names used differently. Perhaps one was a nickname, one was his pen name. We don't quite know. Well, David is on the run from Saul. He's fearing for his life, and he runs to Gath. And the book of Samuel says he was very much afraid. Not surprising, because Gath was Philistine territory. It was Goliath's hometown. We all recall what young David did with his sling to Goliath. It wasn't the sort of place where David was likely to be given a bed for the night. And yet, Achish, or Abimelech, the king of Gath, we're told, let him go. The experience in verse 6, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Can you imagine it? What it must have been like? There was this man on a run from Saul. He ends up in Gath. And what else could he do but cry out to the Lord with what might happen to him? It was so, so dangerous. And David pretends to be mad. And he drooled and dribbled as well. And the king of Gath said, I'm going to let this bloke go. I don't want him around my place of capital rest where I live, and sent him off. But it's also a messianic psalm. Look on to verses 19 and 20. A righteous man has many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. And verse 20 is quoted in John's Gospel about the death of Jesus as he dies on the cross. And of course, the Lord Jesus was a promised descendant of David. And like David, who walked into Gath, that great enemy encampment, so the Lord Jesus voluntarily walked into that great enemy, death, sin, and hell. And didn't just go close to them, no, he experienced death, sin, and hell, being God forsaken. The Lord Jesus was stripped, he was spat on, he was executed like a common criminal, accursed by God. And yet Jesus trusted God to deliver him through it. You see, this wasn't simply the experience of David. It was also the experience of the Lord Jesus, and can be for every Christian as they come to Jesus Christ. Well, what marks out a believer? What marks out a Christian? The first thing this psalm mentions, a mark of a true believer, is joyful satisfaction. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Joy at all times. Praise even when life gets hard. Why? Because we know that in the gospel, sin is sorted. And the psalmist continues, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. To use 20th century language, David's joy was so great, he wants to go to church. He wants to exalt together the name of the Lord. And on Sunday, through song and sermon and Bible readings, we remind ourselves of what God has done. We exalt together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. People like Peter know much more about classical music than I do, but Franz Joseph Haydn, who lived from 1732 to 1809, was a Christian believer. He wrote some wonderful music. And he took those words from John, behold the Lamb of God, what's sometimes called the Agnus Dei. And he set those words to music. The emperor wasn't very pleased because when he did that, he didn't use the somber traditional music, behold the Lamb of God. No, he gave the music a setting which was joyful. And he wrote about why he did it. Let me quote, I was seized by an uncontrollable gladness because of the certainty of God's grace. I wrote a joyful melody with somber words. Haydn had joyful satisfaction. We too have that for ourselves. I wonder, is your life marked by joyful satisfaction? Second mark, if you're a believer, of your faith being real is reverent obedience. Verse 9, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. You see, reverence flows out of David's experience at Gath of being delivered from what looked like sure and certain death. It also, reverence flows through Jesus at Golgotha on the cross. You see, there's joy in the Christian life, but also fear. And God is an awesome God to be feared. Glance down to verse 11 onwards. Come, children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's what it means to fear the Lord. The mark of a rescued person is they use their tongue for good. They turn from evil and they do good as Jesus did. You see, obedience flows out as much from the gospel as does joy. The third mark. We've got joyful satisfaction, we've seen reverent obedience. The third mark of the believer is confident hope. And that's what verses 15 to 22 are about. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I love history, as some of you know, and I read a few years ago about a pre-Reformation cardinal who was arrested by Henry VIII. He was put in the Tower of London. His name was John Fisher. And after 14 months, the order was given for Fisher to be executed, which he was on June the 22nd, 1535. And very weak, after his incarceration, hardly able to stand, he was carried to the scaffold. And somebody who was there recorded what they saw and heard at the foot of the scaffold. And they say how John Fisher's strength seemed to revive. He mounted the steps alone, sun shining on his face, and lifted up his hands and murmured aloud. What did he murmur aloud? Psalm 34, verse 5. Those who looked to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. About to die, he says to himself, if I look to him, I'll be radiant and my face will never be covered with shame. And he knelt down and his head was cut off. Confident hope, praising God, even in that circumstance. I think about a man called Alan Francis Gardner. He died in 1851. He was a Royal Navy officer, and he's also a missionary to Patagonia. And the ships used to come to Tierra del Fuego via the Falkland Islands. There's a shortage of boats to bring food and vital supplies across to him, and he and those with him in his party all died. And Gardner was the last one to die. And he died of starvation, as did the others there, because the natives were so hostile. In October, a relief ship arrived and found his body on the beach, and alongside it was his diary. The 28th of June, 1851, simply written in Alan Francis Gardner's diary, is verse 10. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Facing sure and certain death, that was his certainty. But wonderfully, God hears us when we cry out. And sometimes our prayers aren't answered. We might want them to be answered. And here's David's testimony. The righteous cry out, verse 17, the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. What a wonderful thing. Verse 8, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Why are we confident? Because there's a hope for sin, where we've ignored God and gone our own way in the past, the present, and surely will in the future in different ways as well. So later on, the psalm, verse 22, says, the Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. But glance back at verse 19. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Well, that was true of the Lord Jesus in the fullest sense. And Jesus was not left in the tomb. He wasn't left suffering in hell. No, he was raised. And the resurrection proves that the promise of verse 22 is not just for Jesus, but also for all believers. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Our God is a God who's always near. And perhaps slightly strangely, verse 7 talks about the angel of the Lord encamping around those who fear him. That's a reverent way of speaking of God himself.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He provides everything we need. But look at what verses 15 and 16 say, because alongside the glorious truth about the Lord being near to us, there is a darker side to this wonderful truth as well. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, reminds us that it is possible, if we ignore our Saviour God, that we can be erased, as he says, from the knowledge of him who knows all. If we seek him, we'll lack nothing that will contribute to our spiritual welfare. Thank God for that. And let's ensure that in the whole of life, with our lips and lives, we extol the Lord at all times. Amen.